I want to talk to you this morning about the final word. The final word. I want to go to two passages of Scripture. I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 28. We're going to start 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to read just one verse, and that's verse 14. Verse 14 says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." Again, Paul writing to the Corinthians says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always," I really want to emphasize that word always, "which always causes us to triumph in Christ." Now go with me to Matthew chapter 28, starting with verse 1. Verse 1 says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre, to see the tomb, to see the grave. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon him. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he had said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre, with fear and great joy, and then run to bring the disciples word." Amen. Let's pray this morning. Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would just help me. Lord, God, I pray that you would just place an anointing upon the word of God, and that, God, your word would go into the deep places of our heart. And God, that you would do something in our life that only the power of God can do. And Lord, I thank you for this word. I thank you for quickening of this revelation, something we all know. But Lord, how fresh and how powerful it is, God, when you breathe upon it and there's life there. We thank you for it. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In our story, after Jesus was crucified, they placed his body in a grave, in a cave, being at this time a type of cave. And they pushed a great heavy stone over the mouth of the tomb, sealing that tomb. And I really want you to picture in your mind for a moment. Men are binding their strength together, pushing this great stone with all their strength until the heavy stone sinks into place, sliding into the mouth of the tomb, completely sealing that tomb. Every nook, every pinhole is completely sealed by this great stone. And here's what I want us to capture. When that heavy stone rolled over the mouth of the tomb and sank into the earth, settling into place and sealing the tomb, it was the voice of finality. It was the voice that said, it's over. It was the voice that said, it's done. It was the voice that said, it's ended. It was the pronouncement of finality. When that stone dropped into the earth and collapsed into the mouth of that tomb, it was the voice echoing throughout the ages, this is the end of the matter. The great stone also said something else. It said, this is where it stops. There's nowhere else to go from here. You that have followed him, the only thing left for you to do is try to get over your sorrow and disappointment and move on with your life. There is nowhere to go beyond this tomb. You can live the rest of your life centered on the tomb, grieving over the tomb, looking at the tomb, and moping over the tomb. But if you're wise, you will get over the pain and disappointment, and you'll move on with your life. If you're wise, you'll get over the past. You'll forget about the past and just begin to move on with your life. That's the voice of the stone. That moment when that stone sank into the ground and collapsed into that hole and sealed that tomb, it was the voice of finality. But beloved, the good news is, the good news is this, and we'll get to the good news in a moment. But here's what I want us to see. Listen, this is truly the world's mindset when it takes God out of the picture. You see, if there's no God, then there are no miracles. If there is no God, there's no way to make the absolute impossible possible. If there is no God, there's no way to make the absolute hopeless hopeful. So the best the world can do is tell you it's over. It's done with. There's no place to go from here. The best you can do now is try to get over it and move on with your life. And I just want to tell you this morning, every time the world tells you it's over, the voice of the stone is speaking. Every time the world tells you there's nowhere to go from here, the best you can do is just to get over it and move on. The voice of the stone is speaking. They are just echoing that moment when the stone sank into the earth and sealed the tomb. But beloved, the good news is the stone was rolled away. And the reason why the stone was rolled away and the reason why the tomb is empty is because there is a God who can perform miracles. Because there is a God who can turn impossibility into impossibility. Because there is a God who can vanquish hopelessness with hope. And ultimately, the empty tomb tells us that what the world declares to be final isn't final. What the world declares to be over isn't over. What the world declares to be the last word is not the last word. What the world declares to be hopeless isn't hopeless. Beloved, there is a greater voice than the voice that says it's final. There's nowhere else to go from here. And that is the voice of the empty tomb. God really put that in my heart. That stone sealing that tomb represents the world's mindset because the world has taken God out of the picture. When that stone sank into place and collapsed into that hole and completely sealed that tomb, that was the world pronouncing its voice of finality. Well, this is it. It's done. There's no way that we can move beyond that point. But beloved, I want to tell you something. There is a God. And because there is a God, there are miracles. And the impossible can become possible. Because God is alive, He is real, and He dwells with His people. Amen. Can I just tell you from the very beginning, the world has been pronouncing its voice of finality over the people of God. Do you know what the Red Sea pronounced to the people of God? There's nowhere else to go from here. Do you know what the walls of Jericho pronounced to the people of God? There's nowhere else to go from here. Do you know what Babylonian captivity pronounced to the people of God? There's nowhere else to go from here. Do you know what Haman's gallows pronounced to the people of God? There's nowhere to go from here. And they would have all been right if there had been no God. But beloved, because there is a God who dwells with His people, miracles happen. The supernatural happened, the impossible happened, and the Word of God had final say-so in their lives. Understand, when you take God out of the picture, you have no other choice but to remove the miraculous. And this is why the world we live in is constantly pronouncing finality over lives. Amen. Listen, when you take God out of the picture, then there is no ground for miracles. There is no ground for the supernatural. And this is why the world is constantly pronouncing finality over our lives. Now, beloved, I want to share this with you because my son Dimir gave me permission to share this with you. Amen. Listen, some years ago, Jess and I was asked to come and sit with a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist wanted to discuss our son, Dimir. You see, Dimir had been diagnosed with a behavior disorder. It was a type of disorder that affected his behavior and made him behave in very negative ways. And so this psychiatrist sat down with us and he was explaining this disorder that Dimer had, and he was explaining the behavior that we was going to see, and trying to give us an understanding of this disorder. And also he had things that he wanted to implement. He said, we need to implement this, we need to implement this, because this will manage his behavior disorder. So we need to put these things in place. And after we had our discussion, and we were about to leave, this is what he said to us. He said, I want you to understand, these things will never change. He will never change. The positive thing is, we can teach him techniques to manage these behavior issues. But you have to understand, these things will never change. And I want to tell you something. When he said these things will never change, I want to tell you something rose up inside of me and said, this totally goes against the power of the new covenant. See, the new covenant is all about the life of Jesus in me, gloriously transforming me from the inside out. The new covenant is all about the life of God in me, performing something in me that so transcends human strength. Sure, if there was no God, I would have to concede and accept your report. There's no hope for change. But there is a God, and there is an empty tomb that declares, if I can triumph over death and the grave, I can triumph over everything that's in your life. So the world, because it takes God out of the picture, has no choice but just to roll the stone over the tomb and say, this is the final pronouncement. There's no place to go from here. But beloved, the good news is there is a God. He is with his people. Therefore, there is miracles. There is supernatural. And therefore, when the world says it's over, God says, no, no, no. I have the final word. It's anything but far from over. Amen. You know, I remember hearing Nicky Cruz share his testimony once, and he shared how just weeks before coming to Christ, he had to go under the evaluation of a trained specialist. And after evaluation, the specialist wrote down on his report, change is beyond hope. He'll always be a threat to society. Beloved, if there was no God, I'm sure that was the case. If there had been no God, I'm sure Nicky was destined to go to prison for the rest of his life. But the good news is, there is a God, and there are miracles, and change is possible, no matter how impossible, and there is an empty tomb that declares the world's word is not the final voice in your life. My resurrection, my overcoming life, my word is the final voice in your life. I have the final word. Amen. And I want to take it down another avenue. You know, if the gospel teaches us anything, it teaches us God helps his people. Have you ever noticed that on almost every page of your Bible, God is helping somebody? Almost on every page of our Bible, God is stepping into somebody's life, and he's intervening, and he's helping someone. If the Bible teaches anything, it teaches us this. God is a very present help in time of trouble. And beloved, so often when trials and tribulations arise and in reality there's nothing else we can do, God comes with a miracle. You know, I'm reminded of the time Peter was in a boat and there was a storm. And if you would ask Peter, what's the final word in this storm? You know, Peter said it himself in the story, if you remember it. He said, the final word is this, the boat sinks and we perish. Now listen, if there was no God, I'm sure that would have been the final word. But listen, there is a God. And in this moment of time, God was asleep in the boat with his head resting on a pillow. And when they got a hold of God, God stood up, he spoke the word, and that was the end of the matter. Jesus had the final word. Beloved, the Bible says, Jesus himself said, he said, I am the truth. He didn't say truth is a concept. He didn't say truth is a principle. He said truth is a person. And I want to tell you something. Until Jesus gets up and speaks, the truth of the matter has not been disclosed. You understand that? Listen, the truth wasn't the winds and the waves. The truth wasn't the storm. The truth of the situation was asleep in the boat. And when they got a hold of the truth stood up and spoke, peace be still. And I guess what I'm trying to say is this. Until you heard from Jesus, you haven't heard the truth. He always has the final say in the matter. Amen. You know, I'm reminded of the three Hebrew boys in Babylon captivity. And if you would have asked them, what is the final word in the matter? They could have said, the final word is this. They're heating up the fire seven times hotter and we're going to perish. And I'm sure if there had been no God, this was the finality of the matter. But beloved, the truth is there is a God and he's with his people. And when they threw him in the fire, a miracle happened. What was the miracle? The Son of God appeared in the fire. Now I want you to capture that. The Son of God appeared in the fire. What this reveals to us is this. Oftentimes, the revelation is in the fire. Often the revelation is in the fire. We will go through fires, but often this is where the revelation is. The revelation of God's keeping power is in the fire. The revelation of God's carrying grace is in the fire. The revelation of God's unfailing faithfulness is in the fire. Amen. You know, as a boy, I spent a lot of time on my grandparents' farm. And I spent a lot of time around their fireplace because the fireplace was the only source of heat that they had. And if you spend a lot of time around fireplaces, you know when the wood settles and the flame gets just right and the temperature gets just right, the wood begins to hum. There's a very pleasant hum that rises up out of the wood, and it's as if the fire is bringing a song out of the wood. And you know, one time the Lord spoke to me in that, and this is what the Lord spoke to me. He said, Tim, there are so many songs in your heart the world will never hear if I don't place you in the fire. But when the fires come, there are songs, there are testimonies in your life that will rise up and people will truly begin to hear and take notice. Songs of my keeping power, songs of my carrying grace, songs of my unfailing faithfulness. The world will never hear those songs unless I place you in the fire. Tim, understand the revelation is in the fire. Amen. Now I want to look at another tomb story. I want you to go with me to John chapter 11. Okay, in John chapter 11, a man by the name of Lazarus dies. And just getting right to the point. My wife will tell you I'm a right to the point kind of person. Let's just get right to the point and ask a question. If we take God out of the picture, what is the final word here? Well, look with me at verse 39. John 11, verse 39. Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Beloved, if there were no God, this is the finality of the matter. This is where it ends. A decaying corpse buried behind a stone. But because there is a God, it was far from over. And God had the final word. What is the final word? Look at verse 40. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Beloved, listen. I just want to say that in every circumstance in our life, in every adversity in our life, if we will just hold on to our faith, the final word will be the glory of God. Capture that. Listen, when Jesus spoke this to Martha, this transcended to every generation, to all people that followed him. What Jesus is saying is this, listen, if you'll just hold on to your faith, in every circumstance, in every adversity, in every crisis, in every trial that you're in, if you'll just hold on to your faith, the end of the matter will be the glory of God. Jesus is saying, if you will continue to hold on to the faith that in all things God always causes us to triumph in Christ, somewhere, somehow, the glory of God is going to break through and the final word is Christ glorified. No matter how beyond hope it appears, the final word is you will see the glory of God in this. Amen. Either the Lord said it or not. In all things you will triumph. Nay, in all things you are more than conquerors. In other words, I truly believe what the Lord is saying is whatever's happening in your life, whatever adversity, whatever crisis, whatever trials, if you'll just hold on to your faith and the faithfulness of God, somewhere the final word on the matter will be God is going to be glorified. That's the final word. In every crisis in your life, in every circumstance in your life, God will be glorified. Does that mean he'll always take our cancer away? No, but it does mean somewhere in our cancer, God will be glorified. Does that mean we will never experience the death of loved ones? No, we will experience the death of loved ones. But I'm telling you, somewhere Christ will be glorified. See, in this story, Lazarus is beyond hope, and God is telling his people something. He's telling them this. It doesn't matter how hopeless your situation looks. If you'll hold on to your faith that in all things, I am more than a conqueror, God says somewhere in this, the final word will be, I'm glorified. Amen. That's the final word. I will be glorified. Did I not tell you, if you will just believe, you will see the glory of God? I just want to write that in our heart. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the things you're walking through. But the Lord says, the final word in it is, I will be glorified. That's the final word. Now I want to end by looking at one at the resurrection of Christ from another gospel. And this is how I want to end. Go with me to John chapter 20. Just going to read verse 1. Just verse 1. It says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, while it was yet dark, unto the grave, and seeth the stone taken away from the grave. Now, let's read it again. Because there's just one word I want to emphasize. It says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, while it was yet dark. I really want to emphasize that word dark. Dark. Beloved, verse 1 tells us that Mary Magdalene started toward the tomb when it was dark. There was a pressing in her heart. She couldn't wait until morning to go to the tomb and anoint the body of the one that she loved. So she probably lit a torch and a candle and began her journey toward the tomb while it was dark. And let me just get right to the heart of the matter. This darkness represents those times in our life when the promises of God seem to be cloaked behind darkness. When the promises of God seem to be buried behind a bleak darkness. God has spoken promises to our heart, and when He spoke them, there was a light, there was a hope. But now they are hard to see and even harder to believe because there is such a darkness that has come. Maybe a circumstance or a crisis has invaded our life and has suddenly cloaked the promises of God behind a bleak darkness. And the promises of God are so hard to see and even harder to believe because of this darkness. But yet here is what the Lord is saying to us. Even though all looks dark, there's still an empty tomb that declares Jesus is victor. Even though all looks dark, there's still an empty tomb that declares Jesus has triumphed. The empty tomb is so much greater than the darkness. The victory of Christ is so much greater than the darkness. And when the sun rises and the darkness dissipates, His victory and His promises are the final word in our lives. You know, I can't help but think about Joseph. He had a wonderful promise from the Lord. He had a dream from God, a vision from God, a wonderful promise from the Lord. But it was shortly after he found himself a slave in Egypt, all alone. Everybody who loved him thought he was dead. And how the promises of God must have at times in his life looked so shrouded behind a cloud of darkness. It's so hard to see them, and it's even so hard to believe them because of this darkness that has come in, this circumstance, this crisis, this adversity has come in, and now the promises of God, they're so hard to see, much less believe. And beloved, there are times in our life God may have spoken promises to our heart, but maybe a circumstance or a crisis comes in, adversity comes in, and suddenly the promises of God are thrown behind a shroud of darkness. But I want to tell you something. Even though it looks dark, there's still an empty tomb. Even though it looks dark, Jesus is still victor. And His promises is greater than any darkness you're walking through. And when the sun rises and the darkness dissipates, His promises will have the final word in your life. Amen. Maybe you or some of you are on that journey, cloaked in darkness. But I'm telling you, the darkness doesn't forfeit the fact that there, in the midst of that darkness, there is an empty tomb. There is a victorious Christ. And this victorious Christ says the promises of God are yea and amen. Nothing can hinder my promises from being fulfilled in your life. Not a Red Sea, not a Jericho wall, not giants in the land, not Babylon captivity, not Haman's gallows. My people will go forward. Stand with me. You know, when I give an altar call, I usually have something very specific in my heart the Lord gives me. But I have to be honest with you, this morning there isn't anything specific in my heart. So my altar call is simply going to be this. Pastor Tim, that word was for me. This morning, I just needed to hear that word. The final word is, whatever I'm going through, if I'll just believe, the final word is, God will be glorified in this. Somewhere, somehow, God will be glorified in this. And I just needed that word this morning. And so I just want to take a moment in the altar to just allow God to seal that in my heart. What He's speaking into my life, I just want to take a moment in the altar and let God seal that in my heart. So if that's you this morning, would you just come down to the altar and let God just seal it in your heart this morning? It may just be for one. It may just be for two. But if the Lord has spoken something to you, let the Lord seal it in your heart this morning. And everyone else, can we just bow our heads and just allow the Lord to minister to my sister this morning? Amen. Let's stand this morning. Lord, I thank you that the great stone is not the end of the matter. God, Lord, I thank you that you are God and you are with his people. And God, you are a God of miracles. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that our destiny is to bring you glory. And God, I thank you that whatever's going on in our life, I thank you the words still stands, the final word still stands, that if you will just believe, you will see the glory of God. Somewhere, somehow, the glory of God will break through. And the final word will be, Christ will be glorified in this. And God, I thank you. It's all because there is an empty tomb that declares very clearly to your people that if I can triumph over death in the grave, I can triumph over everything that's in your life. Lord, I thank you, Lord. The empty tomb, the victory of Christ, the resurrection life of God, that is the final word written over our lives. Lord, we love you and we give you glory, God. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you this morning.